Welcome to the Holistic Wealth Podcast. I'm your host, Keisha Blair, wife, mother of three, author of Holistic Wealth, and founder of the Institute on Holistic Wealth. The show will showcase various experts in the key pillars of holistic wealth. Each week, we deliver the best information on how to become holistically wealthy and live your best life. Today, I have a very, very special guest with me. It's Lauren Reidinger, and Lauren is the Senior Executive Vice President of Internet Retailing Giant Market America and Shop.com. Lauren is an internet mogul who has changed the face of the beauty and e-commerce industries over the last two decades. In addition to building her companies, Market America and Shop.com, Lauren is the creator of the award-winning cosmetics line Motives, the solution-oriented beauty fix, and an exquisite jewelry collection, Lauren Jewels. Lauren, welcome to the show. I'm so happy to have you here.
Aw, thank you, Keisha. Thank you so much. I'm so happy to be here with you.
So I just wanted to give the audience just a sense of the importance of this interview for me, because this has been going back years. And I remember when I started Aspire Canada, you know, that mentorship platform that I'd set up for young people, you didn't hesitate in responding and helping me out. And you have no idea what that meant to me at that time, because I'd give you a little bit of like a background on how that started. So my husband died suddenly from a tragic disease.
Very young, right?
Very young, exactly. He was just 34. I had just given birth 8 weeks prior. And I went to my pediatrician and I said to him, what do I do now? I have no male role models, you know, for my two sons. And he said, get them some mentors. When they're ready, get them mentors. And I started Aspire Canada, you know, just to look towards the future of what people, young people out there would be able to need because of my situation. And when I reached out to you, you were so giving, you were so amazing. I'll never forget it. So much so that when I got to writing this book, Holistic Wealth, you were the first person I thought of. And so you're in chapter 29. So that's just to give the audience.
Ah, that's awesome. I have to go get it. I'm going to order it today.
Absolutely. I can't wait for you to get it. This to me is so special, Lauren, so special. And I just want to start with you just giving the audience just an intro to your journey, because you've had some amazing successes with the different brands and shop.com and Market America. So is it possible, because this is going to be a highlight for International Women's Day. So can you tell us about that?
Obviously, it wasn't always this pretty. You know, yes. The journey started about 29 years ago for me and my husband, who we met when I was 18, and he was almost 20 years older than me, and neither one of us had a thing. We didn't have money. We didn't have we had a small little apartment that we rented. There was no big dates, no big dinners. There was no big romantic things happening because there was no money to do anything. But we both were really determined. And back in 92, we both had a vision that people would eventually be shopping online. And back then, of course, that seemed preposterous because most people didn't even have computers in their home, right? We would go to the library to use the computer. Or, you know, we had dial-up, if you remember. And so it wasn't the ideal situation, but we really did see the future of online shopping. And, you know, back then we were trying to get other people to sell us products and we would find customers. Back in the day, it was, you know, 20 people here and there that we had as a customer. And we were the customer service department and the shipping department, and we did it all. Now, you know, 6 million customers later, 150,000 little entrepreneurs everywhere, and more than, you know, almost $1 billion in sales this year. And last year, you know, it's grown tremendously. But I think it's been certainly the journey of, you know, the belief when people are naysayers and they say, oh, nobody will ever buy their clothing or their makeup or, you know, their shoes online. And now, of course, today we know that not to be true.
Yes.
And, you know, you just have to kind of get past those people who will bring you down on the journey, as you know very well, Keisha. Yeah. I mean, people will love to tell you anything that's wrong with something. But I've also found that there are a lot of good people in the world, and they will take the time to tell you the good things that you can do and the way you can be lifted up. And they will give you advice if you ask for it. And there will be people who will be happy to be your mentor if you ask for it. The problem is, I think that so many of us are so shy and that we think, oh, well, you know, they'll never help us. Why would they help us? But people love to be flattered. You know, people love to be said, hey, you know, I would love to just follow in your shadow. I don't expect you to teach me everything. God knows you've worked on your journey your whole life. But could I just follow in your footsteps and, you know, journey along and see how you do it? Yeah. You know? Yeah. So I think the journey has been one that, do I think it's miraculous? Yeah, but I also think it's achievable by anybody. You know, I think that most people, and I've always said this, and, you know, we've known each other for a long time, right? That I believe that people underestimate themselves. I'm so happy that I've had the opportunity to build shop.com into, you know, number 54 worldwide for online shopping. That's a huge, you know, am I ever satisfied? No, you know, I'm not the perfect girl to ever be satisfied, but it's not about making more money. It's about making more of an impact. Yeah. You know, I believe in making an impact on people's lives that will change you forever. Yes. I'm not one who subscribes to corporate America where, you know, the only way to get to the top is to tear somebody else down and take their place. I hate that thinking. That's why I could never work for anybody. You know, my dad, God bless him, he used to tell me, oh my God, you're never going to make it, Lauren. You think you're going to grow up and live in this big house one day, you know, build something really big when you ought to just go on and be a flight attendant with Eastern Airlines at the time. And I thought, Dad, that's not what I want to do. And, you know, I think you have to be big enough to overcome those people who you love, but sometimes they're the biggest naysayers around you. And we have to be strong enough to overcome them because what they think is not our identity. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. And it's so funny, Lauren, that you talk about naysayers. There's a whole chapter in the book about naysayers. So chapter 2 is about naysayers because...
Well, write it down, chapter 2.
Chapter 2, Lauren.
I read the whole book. I'm still an old-fashioned reader. I love to read books.
Oh, I'm going to be so honored when you get that because
get it right away.
You know what? It's so funny because when it happened to me, that tragedy, I had so many naysayers. I had people say to me, oh, you know, you'll never do this again. And oh, don't even bother try that project because you don't have a husband to help you and you're a single mom. You can't do this and you can't do that. And I got negative. Exactly. And so that's why I had to write a whole chapter on it to encourage women and people who are going through, you know, these life-altering setbacks and just anyone. Because even as women, we get these messages, just like what you said about the messages you got from your dad. And so I got those messages too as a single mom. And I was so young, like I was 31. So still just starting out my life.
For sure.
And for yes. And then to get those messages bombarding me about what I could and couldn't do.
It can affect your thinking.
Exactly. It affects your thinking. And you wonder if they're true. And even though you don't believe it, you're like, maybe they're right. But, you know, you go on because you know you want something better for yourself and you know.
Yeah, and that's the true reason I believe that the most important asset you have is your mind and people, because you have to guard your mind from people. And that is your most valuable asset besides time, because if you let people in here, it does a lot of damage. You don't have to be in an accident to have brain damage. You don't have to have a brain aneurysm to have damage. Yeah. You know, you have people in this mind and it takes control of it. And like you said, even though at 31, you knew what you wanted and what you didn't want, you had other people in your mind telling you and self-doubt. And self-doubt can be a killer. And you're just one of the stronger women. You know, overcame that. Most people can't.
That's so true, Lauren. That's so true. And as you bring up the words aneurysm, I remember in 2015 when it happened to you and you had to overcome that. Brain aneurysms are so deadly. So can you tell us how that happened and how you got through that period?
It could have been a very, very dark time. I made everything happen really fast. It was 2015, you're right. I was sitting in my office in New York City in my apartment, and I remember looking down on my hands and seeing that my fingernails had turned gray. And I remember that the left side of my jaw was electric. I'd never experienced anything like that before. And so I was on a conference call and I told everybody in my team, could you tell them I have to get off the call? And then all of a sudden I started having these electric shocks in my head, in my jaw, my head, in my jaw. My fingers looked like they had newspaper print all over it. Strangest thing I'd ever experienced. Eva Longoria, who's a good friend of mine, was there with me. And I told everybody, hey, can somebody call the doctor? And there was a doctor in the building. They had come upstairs and he was like, oh, she's just hyperventilating. She should just, you know, take a Xanax and go to sleep. Mm-hmm. And I was like, no, this is not hyperventilating. So I did fall asleep finally after what felt like, you know, moments of, I'm not sure if I was going to come out of it. And I don't know why I didn't just insist on going to the hospital. But, you know, I tried to stay calm. I woke up a few hours later and I said, you know what, to my husband, I'm going to go have an MRI. And he said, why? And I said, because he said, do you feel bad still? I said, no, but I know what I felt like earlier, but they didn't see anything. And I called my doctor in the car and I said, does that see the arteries of your brain? And he said, no, you need to do an MRA. I'd never heard of an MRA before. He said, turn around and go back. And I did. And they found that I had a massive brain aneurysm in the worst possible place. I went to 6 different doctors who said it's inoperable. There's no way you're going to get through it. And I thought to myself, how can this be? And my big convention with 25,000 people was in like 5 days. Yeah. And it was in North Carolina. And my husband, I remember having to come home and break the news to my husband, and he was broken. So we went to all these doctors. Nobody wanted to operate on me. But then I found this other doctor who said, hey, it looks like, you know, and it was getting ready to leak. That's why I was having all this experience, which most people never are blessed to have that type of head up. You know, most people come out of the shower, they put the towel in their head and then they go. That's the end of it. And they don't, 95% of people don't survive that. I didn't have a burst, but I was starting to leak. And obviously that was what was causing this electrical sensations everywhere. So when I did, I told my doctor, I found the great doctor who said, I can operate on this. We can go through your leg. We can make this a huge success. We're going to put it, try to get some coils in there. Hopefully we can get a stent in your brain. And so I said, okay, but I have to go to the convention first. And my husband said, you're crazy. We can't go on a plane. Out of your mind. I said, listen, I gotten this far. I'm going to the convention. As soon as I come back, I'm going to land on that plane. I'm going to drive straight to the hospital. And that's exactly what I did on that day. I drove straight to the hospital on the 15th. And I did that surgery that day. And I feel like I was the brain poster child. I told my husband, I said, you know what? We're going to video this and document the journey. And he said, no, I don't want everybody to worry about you. And they're going to be freaking out. I said, JR, if we don't share this, at 40 years old at the time, if I don't share this type of stuff with people, they're not going to know what to expect. They're not going to know what to do. So I want to document my journey and share it with people. And I did. And I can't tell you how many friends that I've met over the years that have called me and said, you know, thank you for helping me get through it. Called me during their surgery. And, you know, I just really replaced fear with faith. And that was a big thing for me. And I think, you know, the doctor at the last minute when I was getting ready to go in for surgery, because, you know, you do brain surgery, it's kind of a big deal. You know, you don't, it's not like two doctors, you got like a team. And he said to me, are you ready to go? And before I got there, I called him. I said, hey, when I get there, I need you to come swoop me up quickly because I don't want to have to see my husband and daughter suffer. So just make it really quick and easy and tell them I'm going to be fine and I don't want them to worry. And I never, ever let them think I doubted myself. And I remember the night before my husband said to me, he said, you know, it's only been a week since we discovered this. And I really want to talk about it. I said, well, I can't. I wrote you this letter. I wrote him this great letter. And I told him all the things he had to do in case something went wrong, like call my daughter every day, call our daughter, give her money, do these things. I said, and don't write me back. Just acknowledge it with yes, that I'll do all of it. And when I went into surgery that morning, he said, just so you know, yes, for everything. So that was it. And I came out and I've been better ever since, but it certainly teaches you to appreciate things in life as you go. And it changed my life in many ways, many ways.
That's just an amazing story. Like, I'm so inspired because you brought up two things, replacing fear with faith and just this no self-doubt, which are amazing. I think if we can live by those two mantras, I think we'd be so much better for it, Lauren. That's such an amazing story.
Well, that's what you've done. I mean, when I look at your journey, what happened with your husband passing away early, it's like most people can't get through that. And you ought to be really proud of yourself for that because it's a path that most people never take.
Thank you so much for that. You're so right. And you know what? Even just being able to have those relationships, like with you, I mean, you've inspired me in so many ways over the years. And it's meant so much. And I think that's key too, right, Lauren, in terms of how we get over this, not only your family, but those people who really inspire you. And so in chapter 29, so that's where you're mentioned in the book. In chapter 29,
I wrote it down. I'm getting the book today.
I talk about you and I talk about your legacy and how you have a big heart. And I said in that chapter, when I asked Lauren to become a mentor, she was so supportive and became a contributor to the platform immediately. And then at the end of the paragraph, there's this article that you were interviewed in for Forbes, and you were talking about the time that you launched a business. So I say in the book, at the time you launched a business, it was bringing in just $1,000 per month. Everyone told her she was crazy hearing that. She decided to shut out the negative talk and the naysayers and keep believing. She knew eventually their day of success would come. Lauren goes on to state that it wasn't about the products at first. It was about belief, believing we could do it, believing we could get the cream of the crop. Don't quit just because it's not happening on your clock. Progress takes time.
And that is how I live my life, because everybody wants to have, you know, get rich, but they don't want to have to do the work. Everybody wants the reward, but they don't want to take the risk. Everybody wants to have a successful marriage, but they're not willing to put in the work. People want the rainbow, but they don't want the rain. It's physically impossible. So I've learned a few things in my life. First of all, lead with your heart, you know, instead of your head, because sometimes your head gets, you know, you get too emotional, you've had a worked up day. So I've always learned that if I listen to my heart, I'll win. Second thing is, I don't let people get in here. And that's what you got really good at. And you know, when you could have, when people at 31 years old talked to Lakeisha and could have told her that she couldn't have done what she did, but she did it anyway. You guarding your mind, the door of your mind is the most important thing you have to watch over. I don't watch my back. I watch this, you know, and I make sure I protect it at all costs. I do the hardest things first every day. The things that challenge people the hardest, the things that everybody else procrastinates on. Because let's face it, most people wake up every day and like, oh, I got to make that phone call. Oh, I know I need to call her and tell her, please help me. Can you mentor me? But I'm afraid to do it. And you know what happens is, like, what if you never wrote me that day? We wouldn't be here today. But I think what happens is when people step out of that comfort zone and say, what do I got to lose? I still believe in old-fashioned reading, like I said, and old-fashioned kindness. And I think it goes a long way. I think when people are kind to each other, people don't mind helping each other. You know, it's funny. I was on Clubhouse last night and I was listening to a bunch of people talking. They were pitching their deals to people. And I was just sitting in the audience listening. And they were all fighting with somebody about would they support somebody's business and how much money they would have to pay them. And I was thinking to myself, people forget that people are human and will do things from the heart because you compel them to, because you act that way. And so I do those hardest things first. I lead with my heart and not necessarily my mind. When I have to use my mind, it's when I have to do things that are like where I learned to say no. You know when you know you need to say no to things, right? Like if your girlfriend calls you up and says, hey, come on, we're all going out to party tonight. You got to go. You can't miss out, but you got a big deadline tomorrow. If you say yes, your chances of success have just went like this. But when you say no, that's power. And most people are afraid to say no. Why? Because they care more about missing out on the party than they care about getting to success. And for me, it was never about, I didn't ever say, this is the path I need to take to be successful. I was just like, this is what I'm going to do to be successful. I'm going to pick the right friends. They're going to be positive ones. They're going to be ones that lift me up in spirit. If I'm the smartest girl, then I got the wrong group, right? We need the right people, people who encourage us, people who lift us up, people like you and me who want each other to make it. When you got that in your life, life is good. Everything, it's half the battle. And when you protect yourself from those other people who don't want you to make it and they can't get in here, then nothing they say will ever get to you because you've never let it get to you to begin with. It can't penetrate you. So you don't believe anything, but you are great, that you can get there. And that is what we should be thinking. And unfortunately, we're not always raised that way. You know, and it's not our parents' fault. God bless my own father. It wasn't his fault. He just did what he thought was best. I never get mad. My mom gave us so much love. She used to say, we're not rich in money, but we're rich in love. And I believed her. I always thought I was rich anyway. You know, my mom never said to me, Lauren, you're pretty. She used to say, Lauren, you're so smart. You're so bright. You're going to be something great one day. You're so good with people. And I believed her. But you know, when my dad told me, oh, well, babe, you ought to just go get that job at Eastern Airlines. You're never going to amount to anything good. I turned him off. And here's the thing. People say, well, how do you turn off your dad? You just do. And here's how. Doesn't mean you don't love him. Doesn't mean you don't respect him. It just means not now, Dad. Not now. And I was talking to somebody the other day thinking about him. My dad passed away at an early age. Also, my mom passed away at 42, but my dad passed away at 62. And I remember he never once said to me as I was, you know, successful, like he didn't come see my homes. He didn't come to see how I lived. And I never blamed him for that because I didn't want him to ever feel bad. But one day I remember I was on HSN for a couple of years right before I left because of my brain aneurysm. When I was on there, he called in as a guest and he called in. And I remember he said how proud he was. And, you know, those are the moments that you're like, ah, okay. You know, and even in my mind, I didn't think it mattered. Subconsciously, it does. So that's why protecting your mind at all expense is everything. Even if for those that you love, if I always tell people, if I cut you out of my life, you gave me the scissors. I had to. It's not that I don't love you. It's not that I don't care about you. I'm on a mission. I can't let you interfere with it. It's hard, right? And you had to do a lot of that yourself.
Yes, I did. And it's so amazing to hear you talk, because that's exactly what I had to do to move forward with my two young babies. I had to literally use that scissors and cut some people out of my life. And I had to do it because they kept giving me the same toxic messages about what I couldn't and couldn't do. And I couldn't afford that. My life was too precious. The lives of my two boys were too precious. I had to move forward, Lauren, and I had to make something of our lives. And that's what I did. So when I hear you talk, it's just like amazing, because it's the same.
You're so beautiful. It comes through in your spirit and your skin and your soul and your heart and everything you've done. I can just see, right? Like, your glow is everything. And that's what I mean. Like, you're my friend. You're the people I want to surround myself with. That's, I wrap myself in that. And as long as you do, well, then if I know that Keisha's got my back, there's nothing I can't accomplish. And that's the way we need to live, instead of this way of, like, you know, listening to the girl who says you'll never make it because they're miserably comfortable and they're afraid for you to leave them. Who are they going to hang out with if you make it?
Exactly. You know, and so many women need to hear that, because I think that's the thing that stops many women from going after their dream, Lauren. Like you said, and you had to prioritize. You had to say no. I had to say no a lot. There's a whole chapter in my book about saying no, because I had to do it so many times.
It's such an art, right? That people don't know how to do. You know, my husband and I built this from nothing. My husband was poor. He couldn't even afford to take me on a date. And, you know, people, when they meet me, they don't know that, because JR's, you know, 19 years older. So they automatically assume, like, oh, this girl married a rich guy. I'm thinking to myself, this guy couldn't even afford to buy me a pair of tennis shoes. I didn't marry a rich guy. What I did was, is I went and I rolled up my sleeves and we got it done. But I've also continued to work 29 years later to set the example for my own daughter, for my own granddaughter, for my own grandson, but especially because I want women, my own child, to believe that you never need a man. You don't, that you stand well on your own. And having a man to love you and to compliment you and make you feel good, who's going to give you 100% and not meet you in the middle. I don't need somebody to meet me in the middle. Meet me. I'll give you 100% of me. You give me 100% of you. Otherwise, my deal's off. You know what I mean? And I tell my daughter, like, I want her to know that her mom has worked for 29 years relentlessly. And I think that that's why she works hard now. And I think that's why she's stronger. Like, sometimes, you know, even in her own relationship, in her marriage, I always want to make sure she's the happiest and being treated well. But you have to remember that. I have to remember, too, that all I can do is set the right example. I do my part. And I let her father know, like, I have my own voice. I'm not one of your yes man. No, I speak my mind and I say yes or no. And, you know, I think that's what made my marriage work after 31 years of being together. You know, you have days you want to kill this guy. And you have days where, you know, people are like, well, how do you stay married so long? Because I don't throw in the towel. I don't quit anything. I'm a fighter.
That's so true. And, you know, it's so amazing you brought up Amber, because I remember watching her wedding. I think I watched her wedding maybe 100 times. It was so beautiful. And she looked stunning.
I love you. You know what's so funny about that is that it was 5 weeks before her wedding, and we had to fire the wedding planner because he came in at a two-digit million-dollar number. I wanted to die. So I said, there's no way a wedding costs that much. I could feed the world for that amount of money. It's not happening. So we ended up finding another wedding planner, and I called him. I said, the wedding's in April, and they thought it was the following year. I said, no, in 5 weeks. And they did an amazing job. But I was so exhausted that at the wedding, I think I was the first person in bed at 10 o'clock at night. I was exhausted. And many a time she says to me, Mom, we got to go back and redo it again. I'm like, I got to go back and do it again just so I remember it, because I was exhausted. But it was everything I wish I had, because, you know, we eloped, my husband and I. So I felt like I have one and one and only, and she's given me so much life and joy. I just wish for a better future for all of our children, because I think it's hard growing up in a world of social media and bullies and things that you and I didn't have to. We had other things to endure, but they have harsher drugs to deal with, social media to compete with, trying to keep up with the Joneses on a world that's mostly not Facebook, but fake book, right? And I worry about that for our kids and our future. It's so important to me. And it just, you know, I want them to be okay.
Yeah, I know. It's so true. I have the same concerns, especially with social media, as you mentioned, and they're growing up in such a different world. And like, Lauren, I know you've done so much charity work. So that's the other thing I wanted to ask you about. And you mentioned Eva Longoria. I wrote a couple of articles where I mentioned Eva for her work on financial abuse with domestic abuse for women.
Yes.
And so I wanted to ask you about your work with that too, in terms of, you know, just charity in general, not necessarily that subject, but charity in general. But I know you also do work with her as well.
Yeah, so Eva's one of my best friends, and probably, and I wanted to take a moment to give her one of the biggest compliments ever. You know, I have a lot of successful celebrity friends. Jennifer Lopez is my other best friend. Eva Longoria is probably the most dedicated person I know when it comes to charity work, not only of money, but of time. And, you know, I wish I could give the time that she does. You know, I always tell people, give money or give time. I give money. She gives time and money. I've never seen anybody do it like she does. I mean, she literally will be on a plane 12 days a month just for a charity. And I say just for charity because, you know, you say to yourself, wow, I mean, I'm exhausted, but she'll get up and go anyway. So I love Eva because she is one of the most incredible friends I've ever had. She's used her platform to help people everywhere. And she has a heart of gold. I always tell people charity should be something that matters to you. For me, it's anything that involves children. And Eva's the same. And I think, you know, she worked her whole life to try to finally have a baby. And then she had Santi. So she's so happy. It's even more meaningful to work. You know, it's incredible. She's incredible. She really is incredible.
Yeah, I know you both are. And you mentioned Jennifer too. You both are. It's so amazing. All these amazing women. And I'm so inspired. I'm so inspired. Like, I'm sitting here with goosebumps, Lauren. And
I have goosebumps listening to you and knowing the story about your husband. I think that's what makes us all come from a mutual admiration society.
Yes.
And that's what it's about, because women need to elevate women more, you know, instead of that old way of thinking where, you know, that everybody had that girlfriend in school that would be like, you should wear that dress. You look so pretty, knowing you looked horrible.
Yes. Yes.
Take those girls, cut them out of your life, and get the right ones around you. When you have the right ones around you, you can conquer the world.
That's true.
And that's why, you know, as much as I love education, I'm so conscious of the environment that we send our grandchildren into. And I was very conscious of the environment I send my daughter into, because, you know, you and I, Keisha, can work our whole life to instill being honest, not lying, building confidence in a child. And we send them to school and they come home a different person.
That's true.
And you're like, where is my girl?
Exactly.
And I got to tell you, I did something when Amber was 13, you might have read about. I pulled her out of school. I was a little hesitant at first. She was in the same private school her whole life, and she was in kindergarten, and she was moving into ninth grade. I just saw her come home and be very, almost like just subdued.
Mm-hmm.
Not in her own spirit, not in her confidence, questioning everything she did. And so my husband started to watch. He came to me and said, tomorrow's going to be Amber's last day of school. I said, what do you mean? He said, look what's happening to her. We went to school and took her out. And, you know, we put her in a school called Kaplan, which is everywhere, which is a SAT school, which was great. But I got to tell you, her confidence came right back.
Wow.
Her way of feeling about herself came back, not being pushed down into the dirt,
and, right,
you know, kicked at and being told you're not good enough. All that disappeared. And I wasn't mad at the school, wasn't mad at the teachers. You know, they're doing what they can do.
Yeah.
It's just, there's not enough information at home with parents. Parents aren't having that conversation like you and I are trying to do with our kids.
That's true.
You know, they're not worried about their 9, 12, and 15-year-old, all of them, like you are. Or maybe listeners are, you know?
Yeah.
We're trying to have that conversation and say, hey, it's okay to be nice. Let's lead with kindness. Now, let's not bully people or be nasty to people. And I don't think people are paying attention to what's happening at home all the time. And so it was hurting my kids.
Yeah.
I said, you know what? I'm going to do this on my own. And she's thrived and she's done incredible. And, you know, now that in this pandemic, I'm watching her teach her own three kids.
Yeah.
She's like, Mom, it's amazing what we did.
Yeah.
It's really amazing. But, you know, children are our future generation. And I think if we don't take the time to really pay attention to it now, we hurt ourselves later.
That's true. And it's amazing how you made that bold move, because so many times things happen with our children, you know, even at school, and we wonder whether we should. And definitely, I think that will, you know, inspire some people, because I had a similar situation where I've had to take all three of my kids, put them somewhere else because of a terrible situation. I can see that for sure. And they thrived and they're thriving now, you know, just like how you said with Amber, and she thrived.
From that. Remove them from the situation.
Exactly.
Bring them back to where they are. It's like, what happened to the little girl that knew honesty and truth and belief in herself? As soon as I just sent her to school, she'd be covering up for people and her confidence level will go way down. And I don't want that.
Yeah, exactly.
You know? Exactly. And it's like, I went into my little grandson the other day in the kitchen. I said, you are the most incredible young man I've ever met in my life.
Oh.
And he said, Mimi, that's not true. I said, it's true to me. And I said, how about if I say that you are one of the most incredible young men in the world? He said, that's better. And he said, because you know that you love me and you would say that. But if I can be just one of them, I'll be happy. I said, well, you are one. Our words are meaningful to them.
Yes, that's true. And Lauren, you have a beautiful family. And so just to wrap up, I remember when we were talking about, you know, when you were making $1,000 and how you grew that. And I know many women are at that place right now. Any words of wisdom or advice?
Yeah, I think it's really important never to give up. And it's really important to set goals. You know, I still set goals today. I know it seems old fashioned. Like I said, I still read books. I like hard books.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing like doing things in a way that matter to people. And so, you know, doing the hard things first, number one, wake up every day. Challenge yourself by doing the hard things first. That's number one. No procrastination. Procrastination doesn't live in the mind of somebody who wants to see. It doesn't happen. Number two, learn how to say no.
Yeah.
Say no for your own good so you can live. So you can feel good about what you need to do for you. That's the only way for you to get through what is not always a perfect world, but can be harsh. Number three, give yourself self-love because self-love is everything. And you know, Keisha, you went through that experience yourself. You know, learning how to love yourself is so important and loving yourself first so you don't put that pressure on somebody else. Don't expect other people to make you happy. Find your own happiness. Find that special spark in you because it's there in everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And then don't quit. People throw in the towel too soon. They're like, oh, this isn't working. I have no money. I have no money. I had no customers, no products to sell. But I sure believe that one day people were going to be shopping from this computer. And you know how many people hung up the phone on me and said, no, we're not interested. Call us back when you have customers. Call us back when you have credit in the bank. Call us back when you have money. I had more month at the end of the month than I had money to pay the bills.
Yeah.
That happens to all of us.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Getting to success is not a straight line. It's curved and it's a roller coaster and it's hard and it's challenging. And if it was meant for everyone, everyone would be it. But not everyone does it because they just don't show up. Showing up every day is half the battle. Write down goals, set dates. I write down goals on everything I do. If I make a project, I just met with my team yesterday. I've been doing 28-day challenges for the last 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
And if they don't follow through with the challenge exactly the way I want, I give them like an editorial calendar. This is what I want to see. I do all these Zooms every week. I want to see this, this, and this. But don't make me waste my time and not do those other things because it's connecting the dots, right? You need everybody to connect the dots to make it work. Make deals with friends. Stop giving away all, you know, for women who are starting their own business, don't give away all the equity when you start, but make a friendship. Get with a friend and say, hey, will you do this with me? Will you run with me? I can't afford to pay you. You run with me. I'll make it worth your time down the road. I'll do X, Y, and Z for you down the road. Make deals like that with people that you know, love, and trust that will be there for you. Or make deals with people you don't know, but you like and you look up to. And make those considerations come first. Because people don't mind helping other people when you're leading from your heart. But if you're just coming in and trying to be the smartest guy in the room and act all swift and like you know it all, nobody wants to hear from a know-it-all.
Right.
That's important. And we forget the basics of being human and the golden rule, I always say.
Mm-hmm.
So I always wish that people realize that people will do more when you're kind and when you're nice. And don't throw in the towel. Have belief in yourself. Take the scissors and cut the negative people out of your life.
Yeah.
You know, get that core group of your friends together who are going to lift you up and make you believe you can accomplish anything. Put the dates down on paper. Hold yourself accountable. I tell people, you know, that you should do something with your life right now. people are like, well, it's a little late and I've gotten older and what can I do? And I don't have the education. I didn't go to college.
Yeah.
The closest I ever went to college was going to speak at it now. I go to teach them about entrepreneurship.
It's amazing.
People, when I go into colleges and speak, and like University of Miami has me come speak to their entrepreneurial program a lot.
Yeah.
And they ask me to come in and speak. And I'm like, I can't come in and speak. I didn't go to college. They're like, that's why we want you to come. And I tell the kids, you know, this is the closest I've ever been. And people love that. People love honesty.
Yes, they do.
You know, so be unique, but be passionate. Know what your why is. If you don't know what your why is, then you're going to have a problem. Know what your why is. What is that why? It's the thing that wakes you up in the middle of the night that won't let you sleep, that you don't need an alarm clock to get you out of bed. And if you know your why, you'll figure out your how. I'm so proud of you and what you've done and how you've overcome. And you're just a real woman's woman who I love, who I look up to, who I was wanting to help back then because I believed in you. And I just want people to believe in themselves like you do. Because, you know, just if they had that belief about themselves like we have for them, they'd be huge successes, huge superstars. There is a superstar in everybody. You gotta let it come out, not be afraid to shine.
Wise words. And so, Lauren, if the audience wants to follow you on social media and find the products, where can they find you?
Well, shop.com, of course, is our main website. And I have Lauren's World, of course, still. And then I have, you can find me at all Facebook, Instagram, Clubhouse, Twitter at Lauren Reitinger. And I hope I can connect with any of your listeners. And, you know, I love you and I do anything for you. And I just know that you are setting the right example where you are in our world brought us together for many, many reasons. And this was just another one.
Thank you so much. We've gone through a lot with this pandemic, but this is exactly the message we need. So thank you so much for sharing it with us today. Thank you for joining us this week on Holistic Wealth with Keisha Blair. Make sure to visit our website, keishablair.com, where you can subscribe to the show on iTunes, Spotify, or via RSS so you will never miss a show. While you're at it, if you found value in this show, we'd appreciate a rating on iTunes, or if you simply tell a friend about the show, that would help us out too. Are you a member of the Institute on Holistic Wealth? If not, what are you waiting for? Go to InstituteOnHolisticWealth.com/memberships to choose your membership plan and join. As a member, you get so many perks. Free worksheets, advice, coaching, and a member's workshop to design an intentionally designed life. You need to figure out your life purpose? Take the Build Your Life Purpose Portfolio online self-paced course. You're struggling with all your money decisions? Take the free financial identities quiz and then take the course. You recently had a breakup, job loss, or experienced the death of a loved one? Take the holistic healing course. You need an overall plan to achieve holistic wealth? We will help you figure out your holistic wealth blueprint. And of course, if you want to start making money by helping others achieve holistic wealth, become a certified holistic wealth consultant. Regardless of what career you've got, the Institute will show you how to increase your income and walk in your purpose. The sooner you join, the sooner you start to achieve a more holistically wealthy lifestyle. And you're going to want to stay for a very long time. So go to InstituteOnHolisticWealth.com/memberships to join. If you haven't read the book yet, pick up a copy of the award-winning best-selling Holistic Wealth, 32 Life Lessons to Help You Find Purpose, Prosperity, and Happiness.